Dr. Santo Di Marabella, and today's listen component of our read, listen, watch learning paradigm, we're talking about courage. And I'm with my guest, Sandra Ford Walston, who is the courage expert. Thank you so much for joining me today's podcast, Sandra.
Oh, I've really been looking forward to getting to exchange this conversation with you. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. So to give our listeners and students a little background, for this graduate course in developing leadership competencies, we've identified seven capacities, traits, or qualities that help us reach our leadership potential and make us effective in the contemporary workplace. And courage, of course, is one of those competencies that we're studying. For our course purposes and for a very, very brief definition, we're looking at courage as standing, speaking, or stepping up for yourself and others. But more importantly, we're going to begin to ask you how and what do you understand courage to be, and what has been your experience with courage?
Well, first of all, it's fascinating to me that within this competency class, that you would even think of the word courage. Of course, you and I have known each other for a few years, but most people, one of the pitfalls is that most people don't even think of the word courage. I'll ask them, when was the last time you used the word courage? And they look at me like, you know, I don't know. So the understanding that I have in the foundation of my 25 years of research is to invite people to welcome in the etymology of the word courage, which is medieval Old French courage, meaning heart and spirit. So I research and study why I believe there's a deficit, a courage deficit, or a limited amount of courage for people, is because if they don't invite in heart and spirit, how do I walk my path and my true self? They'll generally fall into the lens, and we all have our own perception and lens, of bravery or being a hero, or being bold, or being gutsy, or being brazen. And those are all words associated, which then discounts my everyday journey in my life that exposes my courage. So the other big pitfall is they focus a duality of courage and fear. And fear, I don't sell fear and I don't push fear, because in my research and foundation, fear is just a creation of the ego, unless you're really in a physical situation, such as, I don't know, maybe in a dark parking lot and you sense somebody is following you, I would be scared. But otherwise, fear is not a part of my work. So simply beginning to say the word is a big step.
That's really refreshing, especially in today's world where there seems to be a lot of promotion of fear. As you've worked on your development in this competency, is there a particular challenge or obstacle that you overcame or on which you continue to work?
Yes, a really big one. And that was, I had about 25 years ago what I call a calling, a voice that told me I was to initially awaken women to the benefits of feminine courage. And I have two books of that. And then invite organizational courage into organizations. Well, I was not a writer, never dreamed of being a writer, don't like writing, don't use journaling as a cathartic insight in my work. And so just taking on the challenge, which I had never been challenged at 1,000% level. I have a diverse, successful corporate background. And here I was having to step up the plate. And I did it. I did it because of the calling. Researching, I love researching. And all of my work is based upon research, not Sandra Says. So that's a big one that I wrote three books and continued on. And another one would be that I continue to battle this issue of people not wanting to invite in their courage, their heart and spirit, because our culture tends to just want a pill. So after I recognized this, I wrote an article called Give Me the Damn Pill, because people don't really want to be 100% accountable and they want a fast fix. And courage many times is just small accumulative steps.
Yeah, again, such relevant insight for today's world. So you probably also, as introspective as you are, you understand that you have also made lots of progress and achievements or success in this competency. Maybe you could just outline one of those that is remarkable to you that you feel more proud of, or at least currently feeling proud of.
Anytime I am living in my courage consciousness, in other words, centered in my true self, I haven't fallen into a pothole on the yellow brick road where I'm pulling on my courage to get me out. Hopefully I know I have a reservoir of courage to get me out, but that I'm willing, that I notice in my life that I am willing to risk my identity in the moment. I'm willing to stand in my dignity is one of the interactions that I feel has been really big for courage for me. Also, the times that I'm willing to show vulnerability. And that would be, you know, this, I might just say, this requires me to be vulnerable to tell you blah, blah, blah. Another interaction with courage is knowing that I don't need to win the approval of other people. I can stand in my own true self and be proud of that. I also feel like a big part of me is when I help other people grow and expose something maybe that I don't really want to expose in them, but of myself, but I know that it will help them.
You know, what's so wonderful about the way you frame this is that it is a constant, even though it's a constant struggle, it's also a constant reflection of how well we're doing. Not just where we fall, but how well we do and how we build that courage quotient as you talk about it. Each day, by being in this place.
In the state of courage consciousness, Santo, if I can, I mean, and that happens with building a reservoir of courage that I know I can draw upon. So, you know, that level of consciousness and using the word, I can't stress enough for that, using the word is really critical.
Sandra, thank you so much for being with us and your willingness to share your experience and development in courage. This has been Sandra Ford-Walson, the Courage Expert.